Sponsorship of the KQED live audio stream comes from Xfinity Mobile, featuring customized wireless plans. Customers can choose unlimited, buy the gig, shared data, or a mix of both and switch it up anytime. Learn more at xfinitymobile.com.
Welcome once again to Health Dialogues. I'm Rachel Miro, sitting in for Scott Schaefer. The state of California serves roughly 240,000 people with developmental disabilities. Think Down syndrome, autism, cerebral palsy, and so on. Most people with developmental disabilities live at home, others in public and private facilities that rely on state as well as federal government funding. This hour will take an in-depth look at how California's budget crisis is involved in the pending closure of a major state-run facility east of Los Angeles. We'll also hear how California's financial troubles affect other services the developmentally disabled rely on, like dental care and early intervention for infants and toddlers. But first, let's head to Pomona for a tour of the Lanterman Developmental Center. The state has been moving people out of big institutions like Lanterman for the last 40 years. To many people, this campus on the eastern edge of Los Angeles County is a white elephant, an expensive leftover from an era when society didn't know any better, when more intimate community care facilities weren't available. But Lanterman is still home to nearly 400 people. They live in a clutch of Spanish-style buildings dotting more than 300 acres of green, rolling hills in Pomona. Our tour guide is Sunny Madden. She's been visiting Lanterman for nearly 40 years. Her son Mark, born with cerebral palsy, moved here in 1971.
My grandkids love those swings, and there's one of our wheelchair swings.
Yeah.
Mark likes that.
Over the years, Madden has sat on numerous local and state-level boards and councils. People on the campus call out her name as she drives by. Lanterman is a community on its own, she says, but it's not isolated. The streets are open to the public. Local Boy Scout troops camp on the grounds.
They have a huge, huge 4th of July celebration here. Parades, fireworks, picnic. Families come from everywhere.
There's an acute hospital and a dental clinic here, as you might imagine, but also an amazing array of purpose-built facilities to serve the people who live here. There's a swimming pool, playgrounds, a camp, a carousel, an equestrian center, track, softball and soccer fields, an amphitheater, a movie theater, and an auditorium. This place has come a long, long way from its crude beginnings near the start of the 20th century.
Blue sky, smiling at me, nothing but blue sky do I see.
When Al Jolson sang the hit song Blue Skies in 1927, this place was called the Pacific Colony. The people who lived here were called inmates. In 1953, the name changed to the Pacific State Hospital, and the inmates were relabeled patients. In 1979, when this place became the Lanterman Developmental Center, patients became clients. Across the nation, but especially here in California, people with disabilities began to demand the right to self-determination.
There are very few people, even with the most severe disabilities, who can't take control of their own life. The problem is that people around us don't expect us to.
Ed Roberts, considered by many the father of the independent living movement, explained his anti-institutional philosophy on 60 Minutes back in 1988 while lying inside an iron lung to help him breathe.
What's a life living in an institution or a nursing home? Not much of a life. Yet we spend billions and billions of dollars on these. In fact, what we have to do is break that money loose from very strong special interests and move it into the community.
But Roberts and many of the early pioneers of that movement were physically disabled, not necessarily developmentally or intellectually disabled. 40 years after this civil rights movement began, it's the developmentally disabled and their advocates at the heart of a debate over whether and how to close the state's four remaining developmental centers.
Through the 50s and 1960s, it was recognized that people could and should live independently and could live in their own homes with the right level of supports and services, and somehow government should be funding that.
Marty Omoto started advocating for his intellectually disabled sister Elena when both were children. Now he runs the California Disability Community Action Network in Sacramento. His emails reach 55,000 people with disabilities, their families, service providers, and policymakers.
By the late 60s, a group of families and parents started lobbying for that in Sacramento. And the legislature, to their credit, through then-Assemblyman Frank Lanterman, authored a bill that created what is now known as the Lanterman Developmental Disability Services Act, which was signed by then-Governor Reagan. And that's the first and only Civil Rights Act for people with developmental disabilities in the country. And that, you know, allowed for and authorized community-based services.
But it would take decades, demonstrations, and lawsuits before the vision behind the act was realized to the extent it has been. The network of community-based services that exist today was still a dream in the making when Sonny Madden gave birth to Mark.
He was born November 14th, 1965. He's 44, and he was at home until he was 7. He's profoundly, severely disabled. He functions at the level of a 3-month-old, and there's a range of his functions probably to 12 to 18 months.
Sonny sits on the patio with him outside Residence 21. Mark is physically slight. He sits strapped into a wheelchair. He eats pureed food and struggles with a battery of issues ranging from asthma to an astigmatism that leads his right eye to wander. He can see up to 10 feet, but Madden jokes that Mark is busier than she is. His schedule is packed with equestrian therapy, bowling, vocational training, and other activities both on and off the campus. Madden is convinced Mark would not enjoy the same quality of life or medical care he enjoys at Lanterman on the outside, no matter how many people tell her he can.
You're right. There are people who'll say that.
You don't believe it?
No, because it's not a reality. It's far from reality. Yeah.
What makes you doubt it?
Experience. The services and supports when you live in the community don't come from one place. Mark would not have a Dr. Yang to see him on the residence every day or where he lived every day. He would not have a Dr. Stone who follows up on his dental needs and cleans his teeth every 3 months and understands his behavior issues. He would not have those people observing him all the time. And assessment is huge. Mark doesn't speak. He's nonverbal. He does express his needs, but professional assessment from people who really, really know him is how we know when he's in pain, how we know when he's sick, how we know when he's getting sick.
But even Madden admits Lanterman is underutilized. As of April 1st, there were 393 people living here, and it costs more than $116 million a year to run this place. The California Department of Developmental Services officially proposed closing Lanterman in January. If the legislature approves, and it's expected to, the relocation process starts in July.
If they decide to close, where does Mark go?
I don't know. It's my worst nightmare.
Have you come up with a short list?
No. He's got the best services here. That's where I want him to stay.
The department held a public hearing on the Lanterman campus in February. Hundreds of people attended, among them Sally Milano. She's a board member of the San Gabriel Pomona Regional Center, one of 12 in the Lanterman service area. The regional centers funnel state funding to community service providers. The centers stand to gain clients and money from the closure of Lanterman. But Milano says something special will be lost.
Here, everybody smiles and says good morning, gives them a hug. Those are hugs that the community will not give them. But here, they know they are loved and they know they're taken care of.
My name is Dr. Terry Steiner, and I've had the honor of being the podiatrist here at Lanterman Developmental Center for almost 17 years. The staff here has training and experience, and they know how to work with developmentally disabled individuals. We need to acknowledge that there are situations where we have to admit that they are different. They need special accommodations. They need trained individuals to assist them. Lanterman provides all of that, and it provides it in a warm, beautiful, and protected environment. Lanterman needs to stay open.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Joe Preston. I do hope that you don't close Landerman, but if you do, I would like to recommend that you open up a small section of this campus and call it a resource center where you can take advantage of the doctors, nurses, psych techs, and all the other staff that do such a wonderful job. To lose them with all their experience would be criminal, in my opinion. You can't get it anywhere else.
According to the state's proposed closure plan, there will be an outpatient clinic at Landerman, at least until the last client has been placed somewhere else. In recent years, most of Landerman's higher-functioning clients left for community facilities. New clients with high needs are directed to the community first, rather than the local developmental center. The law requires each client be placed in the least restrictive setting possible. But this policy had disastrous consequences for at least one family. A warning here that the following testimony is disturbing. Christine Mall of Fresno is the mother of a severely disabled son, Adam, who now lives at the Porterville Developmental Center southeast of Tulare. She called in to the Landerman hearing to share her story.
He was diagnosed with autism at the age of 3.5 and in late adolescence developed symptoms of obsessive-compulsive disorder, a possible tic disorder, and possible schizophrenia. At the age of 19, he began attacking his right eye, poking it repeatedly. And the community group home operator who had taken care of him since he was 12 could not do it any longer. Adam was placed in a quick succession of two community group homes which were meant to deflect clients from developmental centers. And both of those placements were absolute disasters to his health and well-being. He succeeded in blinding himself in the right eye and was beginning to attack his left. Finally, I was told that there was nothing left to do but to institutionalize him. As I had always been told that this was the worst thing that could happen to a person with developmental disability, I was devastated. Imagine my pleasant surprise to discover that at Porterville Developmental Center, Adam received all the medical and emotional help that he needed to stabilize his behaviors. And he seems to have achieved a measure of contentment that he was not able to achieve anywhere in the community, including in our own loving home. Do not let anyone, no matter how well-meaning they may be, tell you that all people with developmental disabilities can be sustained in the community. This is not a politically correct position, but I am telling you that developmental centers are a treasure. They represent a necessary level of service delivery that sustains the most medically fragile people in the state of California. My heart is with all of you there. I wish I could be there. Thank you.
The Department of Developmental Services declined our request for an interview, but Director Terry Delgadillo did answer concerns in a telephonic town hall organized by Marty Omoto of the California Disability Community Action Network.
We struggle because of the very, very difficult budget situation in maintaining four large facilities. Landerman is in need of significant repairs and upgrades in the next few years. Landerman also has the lowest resident population, and their resident population has been declining independent of closure.
Delgadillo insisted Landerman will not close until every resident is placed to the satisfaction of an entire team of stakeholders.
The whole planning team, which includes the resident, the families, the people providing services today, the people in the community that might provide services, and the regional center, they'll come together and they'll look at each individual and figure out what their needs are, and then those needs will be addressed wherever that individual lives.
Disability rights advocate Crystal Hopkins was on the call. Hopkins reiterated the concern that individual needs not be glossed over in the interest of expediency in closing Landerman.
One size that will fit all is really not an option.
One size that will fit all is really not an option, she says. People from all sides in the community can agree on the basic truth: there is no average client. and that each client's needs must be reassessed on a regular basis, not just when transitioning from one placement to another. Similarly, loving family members don't just park a person with service providers and walk away.
I'm Catherine Vacrinos. I live in Yorba Linda, California. I'm 79 years old. I'm an advocate for Steve Robertson, my nephew. He's my late sister's son, and I've helped her raise him through all the years. Steve is now 59. Stephen was born prematurely. He weighed 1 pound, 13 ounces, and he was born at 6 months, 2 weeks.
3 months of oxygen pumped into his incubator ruined Steve's eyes, adding blindness to his developmental and intellectual disabilities. For the last 16 years, Steve has lived at Mountain Home, a care facility in Claremont that operates under the umbrella of the San Gabriel Pomona Regional Center. This is what's called an intermediate care facility, one of four kinds licensed by the state. This kind cares for 4 to 15 people who have what are called intermittent, recurring needs for nursing. 5 of the 6 men here came from Lanterman, including Steve.
He's healthy, is able to tell us his needs. I think he's rather charming, yes, and he's very friendly and outgoing, loves people, loves to chat, loves food. That's one of his greatest pleasures in life, so I'm busy cooking for him all the time.
Vacrinos isn't the kind of aunt who shows up once a year around Christmas. She takes Steve home regularly. She took him home to Yorba Linda for 5 days over Easter.
And what did we have for Easter dinner?
Spaghetti.
With?
Tomato sauce.
Okay. What else?
Italian roll.
Yeah.
Fish candy.
But remember the strawberries with sponge cake and whipped cream?
Remember the strawberry sponge cakes with cream?
There's a sprinkler system installed here. The bathrooms are wheelchair accessible, and there are more exit doors than you find in most single-family homes. But otherwise, Mountain Home looks like a home. Claudia Hemingway is Director of Adult and Residential Services at San Gabriel Pomona Regional Center. She used to work at Lanterman, first as a social worker and then in management.
Steve lived on a larger unit with probably 40 other individuals of differing needs and abilities and interests. And even though they had lots of staff there, it was not this kind of setting, more intimate and more like yours and mine.
Like you and me, if Steve gets really sick in the middle of the night, he's taken to the ER of a local hospital. An on-call nurse delivers advice over the phone for less urgent issues. Mountain Home employs 8 people, 5 of whom are part-time. The minimum staffing level is 2 people during the day, 1 at night. Compare that to the Lanterman Developmental Center with 1,300 employees. But advocates of community care, some of them former caregivers at developmental centers, say there is risk everywhere, even in institutions, and that institutions often over-medicate clients, either because it's easier or to address the psychological and physical stress people suffer when they live in huge impersonal environments. Vacrinos agrees.
The best thing that has ever happened to him is when he came here. Since he has been here, he has thrived.
The administrator of Mountain Home, by the way, is also a former Lanterman employee. Richard Carlson, a special education teacher by training, retired from Lanterman to apply for a grant to fund the creation of Mountain Home.
I worked also at Fairview Developmental Center, the facility to the south in Costa Mesa, 25 years altogether.
Do you ever miss Lanterman or no?
No, I don't. I don't. I love this setting so much more. And I worked as a teacher at Lanterman for a long time. And it's not that I didn't enjoy those years, but it's so much nicer to see them thriving in this setting. As Aunt Catherine was saying, this is a home.
So how does California's system of care compare to those in other states? Kurt Decker heads the National Disability Rights Network in Washington, D.C. The federally funded nonprofit bills itself as the nation's largest non-governmental enforcer of disability rights.
Well, it is difficult to rank states, and there is always much more to be done for this population. But I would say, in just looking at numbers, cost per person, amount of money available to individuals, the reliance on smaller, more home-like settings, really puts California, I think, in a better position comparatively to other states. California also has, I think, taken advantage of the Medicaid waiver programs that allow for optional services, where many states have not done that. And I think California has added a variety of other community-based services to keep people either in their own homes or help them get into settings out of large facilities into something that's much more in the community.
But the history of developmental center closures in California is a mixed one. Early on, many residents were simply transferred to other developmental centers or smaller state-run facilities. During the 1990s, pressed by a landmark legal settlement, the state moved more than 2,000 people into community placements inside of 3 years. There were allegations that too many clients died in the transitions, that community facilities couldn't handle the caseload, and that state oversight fell short. To this day, there's a climate of mistrust between some families in the state, but there's one particular recent closure process it seems just about everyone can agree on.
Agnews
Developmental Center.
Agnews.
That last voice is Marty Amoto of the California Disability Community Action Network.
Almost everyone has felt that that closure and transition has been a success.
That success is due to several factors. One, the individual planning process, in which residents were patiently placed in new homes over the course of 7 years. Two, heavy oversight by state-funded area boards, lawyers, and family groups. Teresa DeBell is vice president of the Parents Coordinating Council of Landerman Developmental Center.
It is an extremely thoughtful process. In other states, you know, legislators can just close a developmental center and that's the end of it. But here, there is, you know, accountability, there's fact-finding, there is disclosure.
In the case of Agnews, there's a third factor that explains its success. 962 homes, so-called because of the bill, SB 962, that authorized the state to issue bonds to buy and redesign homes to accommodate licensed medical care on-site. The man who wrote that bill is Wesley Chesbro, a Democrat representing the North Coast who chairs the Assembly Select Committee on Disabilities.
We, I think, gave a shining example of what should be accomplished and can be accomplished in the form of the 962 homes, where people with significant medical needs and involved disability can live in the community right next door to you or I. The Americans with Disabilities Act requires us to provide the right of individuals to live in the least institutional setting that they choose to. That doesn't just mean that they could, you know, they go out the front door of a nursing home or a developmental center. It means that we offer them the supports to be able to live in the community.
Agnews closed for good in March of last year. But the proposal to close Landerman comes in the midst of a budget crisis. Nobody expects 962 homes for Southern California. Landerman won't take 7 years to close, more like two. And this time around, there are few lawmakers other than Chesbro who know much about Agnews or any of the previous closures. Marty Amoto, who lives in Sacramento, has a ringside seat to politics in the state capitol.
I think that's another added level of discomfort for some of the families at Landerman because we're dealing with policymakers because of term limits who don't have the experience. They may have the empathy, but they don't have the experience. I don't have any doubt about the integrity or the willingness of the Department of Developmental Services to do the right thing, but the willingness is one thing. The funding by the legislature and by the governor is another.
We'll explore that question in the second half hour of Health Dialogues. Welcome back to Health Dialogues. This hour, we're talking about how the state's financial crisis is influencing the services the state provides for the developmentally disabled, in particular, the pending closure of the Landerman Developmental Center in Pomona on the eastern end of Los Angeles County. Let's hear from State Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco. He chairs the budget subcommittee that deals with health and human services.
K through 12 plus higher education represents 50% of our budget. If you protect all of that, where are you going to cut? Well, the balance of our budget is in health and human services and also corrections, but it's almost impossible to cut significantly out of corrections because we tried, and you hear people start to scream about early release. It's as if we have no place to turn.
Except for health and human services.
Health and human services.
Well, bringing this back to Landerman, if you talk to families, in the L.A. County, Riverside County, San Bernardino County areas, they'll tell you that for years now, Lanterman has been finding community placement for the higher functioning residents, leaving a population that is comprised heavily of folks who have very serious and therefore very expensive needs. Are you all at all concerned that those folks are not going to be able to find housing, facilities, services that allow them to stay close to their families?
It's almost hard to believe because we often hear of state departments and operations failing us on such a regular basis. We can't imagine that the state could, in a very sensitive and caring fashion, deal with every single resident being placed into the community. But in fact, we have done it. There will be much discussion. The devil is in the details. And what we will be discussing is not just the idea of the closure, but the implementation of that closure.
Leno says money will be set aside to fund the process. He doesn't have a dollar figure, but says this will be discussed later this month when lawmakers review for the first time the Lanterman closure plan. The discussion comes in the context of a decade of cuts to the Department of Developmental Services. This fiscal year alone, the agency's budget was cut by $334 million. Other cuts target other programs used by the developmentally disabled, including programs that save the state money.
There's not a lot of taking into consideration the long-term fiscal or human or moral or ethical or any impacts.
Barbara Mazie is the treasurer for the Respite Inn in Concord. Nearly 75% of Californians with developmental disabilities live at home. Respite programs give those parents a break. Budget cuts have brought the Respite Inn and programs like it to the brink of closure, thus creating the potential to boost the number of exhausted families that put their children in group homes for care at the state's expense.
The cost to the state for out-of-home respite service like this averages, if you take all the folks together and average them, it's $6,000 to $7,000 a year. The cost of out-of-home placement, the average is between $30,000 and $40,000 a year. Even if only a few people change from having their kids at home, the savings is wiped out, even though it's painful for the legislators, I'm sure. The way these decisions get made has been truly distressing to watch.
Well, it's going to be a long, hot summer.
Again, Assemblyman Wes Chesbro, who's also a member of the Assembly's Health and Human Services Budget Subcommittee.
This proposal at Lanterman is an accelerated proposal, and it's one that is really, I think, much more budget-driven, and therefore many of the clients, in fact, will be transferred to other developmental centers.
Chesbro anticipates a number of the residents at Lanterman are likely to move to the Fairview Developmental Center, 35 miles south of Pomona in Costa Mesa.
I certainly understand completely that we have an obligation to keep the ship of state afloat fiscally. We also have a legal obligation to our disabled citizens to provide them with the services, both ethically and under the law. And it's the law of the land. It's the U.S. Supreme Court.
Californians led the way to establishing the law of the land for people with developmental disabilities. Despite the recent rollbacks, advocates say the system of care in the state is still one of the most generous in the nation. Lend your voice to the discussion. Comment online at healthdialogues.org. You'll find statements from a number of lawmakers about Lanterman, as well as a slideshow, maps, and much, much more. That's at our website, healthdialogues.org.